Amen. Brother Joel, thank you for that great old song. Without a doubt, I've enjoyed being in church already this morning, haven't you? Amen. Hasn't the Lord been good to us and gracious to us? I want you to take your copy of God's Word and go again with me to Joshua chapter 24, if you would. The final report. That's what I want to speak to you about for a little while on this Sunday morning. The final report. And when you found your place, would you go ahead and join me? Let's rise to our feet and read a few verses. And let's honor the reading of God's Word for a few moments here. It's been quite a journey through the book of Joshua, but here we are finding ourselves at the close of it. Look at verse number 29. We'll begin reading there, Joshua 24 and verse 29. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things," and if you've been with us, you know all the things that they are referring to, "that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, he died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Seah, which is in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gosh." Verse 31 says, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." That'll be sufficient for right now. When you read those verses, it does not really seem like there's a tremendous amount of things in them. When you break them down and you study them a little bit, you're finding some wonderful, glorious truth. And in these verses, what we are finding is what I'm calling this Sunday morning the final report of Joshua's life of victory that left nothing undone. Thank you so much for standing with me. You may be seated. To make this matter a little more personal to us and to think a little bit about it and to get it in our minds, if we were to travel today to Memphis, Tennessee, and if we were to go to the cemetery, we would find the grave of what I believe to be one of the greatest preachers to ever live. And that is Dr. Adrian Rogers. There's a picture of his gravestone there, and there's many things that can be said about Dr. Rogers' life. Just below his name that gives us here, Adrian Pierce Rogers, you will see these words. I love it. "Come to Jesus, bold proclaimer of the Word of God." Come to Jesus, bold proclaimer of the Word of God. That's what I want to be known as. Come to Jesus, bold proclaimer of the Word of God. If you know anything at all about Dr. Adrian Rogers' life, then you know that those few words totally described with perfection the life that he lived for the Lord. It was the final report of his life. Here we are, the 34th and the final message of our series. We've been in all year, leaving nothing undone concerning the life of Joshua, all of the works of Joshua, and the things that God used him to do across all of the nation of Israel and getting them settled in their new life. And of course, it is a picture of the victorious Christian life. And we've seen that all through the study. The book of Joshua, it really begins in chapter 1 and verse 1 with these words. He says, "Now after the death of Moses," and then when you come to the end of the chapter, chapter 24 and verse 29, it says Joshua died. And then if you looked in verse 33 of the final chapter, it tells us that Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. We are given the record here of the death of the mighty servants of God. From the very beginning of the chapter all the way to the very end, the saints of God, they're going on home. Amen. And we're given the record of that. But in between chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 24, and verse number 34, 33, we are seeing a life that was lived of all of these men, and it was remarkable. What they did for God, the things that they accomplished for God, all the living that was done in it. And so today what I want us to do is I want us to summarize for a little while the life of Joshua. In the text, Joshua's gone. You remember the last 2 weeks we talked about the final assemblies that he was having with the people, the leaders, and then also with a rank and file of the tribes, the nation as a whole in chapter 23 and chapter 24. And we talked last week about choose you this day. The choice is yours, whether you're going to follow Christ, whether you're going to serve God, the choice is yours. Amen. But now in these final few verses, we are summarizing the life of Joshua. This life of victory, dying after 110 years on earth. He left nothing undone. And it is in this that we see the final report of his life. First of all, think with me about how that we see that he left nothing undone in a Christian reputation. Did you get that? He left nothing undone in a Christian reputation. Now, before any of our Bible scholars and theologians that may be present or listening may want to criticize me for my use of the word Christian here in this Old Testament passage, let me just remind you again, if I could, that the name Joshua, it literally is translated Jehovah. It is pointing to Jesus Christ, letting us know that he is an Old Testament type of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Also, in addition to all of that, I need to remind you again that the book of Joshua is just the Lord's Old Testament book that teaches New Testament victory in the Christian life. So, definitively speaking, I am directly in line, theologically aligned with using the word Christian in this text. You see, all through our study, when we have looked and we have considered all the various things that we have about the life of Joshua, they translate to what is required for a life in the Christian to be able to live in victory, to be able to leave nothing undone, to live our lives with no regrets. That's what the book of Joshua is really teaching us. And it is in this that we are seeing several aspects of it unfold. We see this Christian reputation given to us in verse number 29. And you look at it and it says, "And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun." I think we can safely call that Joshua was a favorable son. That was part of his Christian reputation. He gave and he honored his name very well. He never brought reproach that we have any record of to his father's name. We're searching the scripture and that is what we are finding. Now going all the way back to chapter 1 of Joshua and verse number 1 and everything in between, we find this phrase that is given to us, Joshua the son of Nun. The fact is, this is used over and over again all through this wonderful life of victory. You know what God is doing? The Lord in that is being very intentional in keeping the father of Joshua always in front of us. Have you thought about that? Joshua, the son of Nun, N-U-N, that is a name. It is a Hebrew name. Now, I would love to give you this great long list and bio of all the great things that this man Nun, Joshua's father, had done for the Lord. The fact of the matter is, we don't know much about Joshua's father, Nun. You see, in Bible times, names, they meant something though. When you search the scripture and you look at somebody's name, fellas, what you always want to do and you see a name, you want to search out what really did that name mean. It was significant about the life that they lived and how God used them. It's no different right here. The name Nun, don't get this, in the Hebrew, it actually means continuation. It's meaning that whatever was started, Joshua was going to finish. In other words, Nun carried on some things. He passed some things down to Joshua as well. Now, while we may not know a whole lot about this man Nun's life, when we study his life and when we trace his name back and when we trace his heritage back, we are able to learn that he did some tremendously good things for God. We know this because he was of the tribe of Ephraim. That'll connect here in just a little while. And he carried on the good things that his daddy did. In other words, Joshua's grandfather did some good things. Joshua's grandfather passed it down to his son. Nun, he did some good things. And then Nun passed some things on down to Joshua. And Joshua did some good things. Are you seeing it? Nun's father did some good things for God. And he passed it to Nun, who did good things. Nun passed it to Joshua, who did good things. Joshua passed it to his kids, who did good things. And then Joshua actually passed it on to an entire nation, didn't he? A nation that went on to change the world for the Lord. And we're still seeing it change today, even in this hour that we are living. All the significance that we could find in this for our victorious Christian life that leaves nothing undone. Friends, you may not feel like you've done anything great for God. I've felt that way before. Surely you have as well. You may not think you've ever even preached a sermon. You've never written a song. You have never sung a song. You've never taught a Sunday school lesson, worked in children's church. You may not have ever even been real bold in your witness for the Lord. You've never done any great and grandiose things of caring for the sick or feeding the hunger. And you may be sitting here today, and you're just a man or a woman. And you're sitting here today wondering what you've really done for the Lord, when in reality, God gave you a burden to do one thing, and that was to teach your babies to know God. And you have tried to pass the things of God down to those children throughout the years. You've tried to show them that, and one day at the judgment seat, though you may not have preached a sermon, though you may not have sung any songs or done any great and grandiose things, one day you're going to stand before God as His child. He's going to look at you and He's going to reward you and He's going to say, "Well done." In a world that it didn't seem like you did many great things, you raised children that loved God. You raised children that went on to do great things for me. I reward you today and I honor you for just honoring me by passing down the things of God to your children. Well, I've told you before about my mama. My mama was my dad's aunt. My dad's parents, of course, they divorced at a very young age. He was only 5 years old when they divorced. He was then sent to live with his grandparents. His grandparents shortly after died suddenly. Brain aneurysm and a massive heart attack within about 10 minutes of each other, leaving a little 5-year-old boy with no parents, no home to go to, and now no grandparents, didn't know anywhere to go. Then there was a lady, his aunt, that had a burden for little Jeff. And you know what? Mama never had much at all. She never had anything more, lived in anything more than a little old Mill Village home. She had struggled her whole life. She didn't have many things to offer. She didn't have a whole lot that she could give to that little boy. She just lived in a little bitty town of 300 people up on the backside of Spartanburg County, South Carolina. But she had a burden, and she brought him in. She put her life on hold. She put herself in financial restraint. She changed everything in her life so she could raise that little 5-year-old boy. You know, Mama took little Jeff to church. Mama was consistent in pouring God into that boy's life. And at the age of 9, Jeff got born again. He got saved by God's grace there at Fingerville Baptist Church in Spartanburg County, South Carolina. God changed his life. And now for some 60 years, he has crisscrossed literally the world in Japan today, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and touching the world for him. Nobody ever really knew the name Thelma Atkins outside of her little circle. Nobody ever knew the things that she gave up. She was never in the spotlights. But I tell you, Thelma Atkins realized the fact her life was likely not even about her. It could have been about a little Jeff that was coming up behind her. She needed to raise and pass the things of God down to that little boy. She embraced her destiny and she did her best to raise up a preacher, a pastor, a mighty missionary that would see thousands of people come to know Christ. As a result of one woman that the world never knew, but she raised a godly little boy. Joshua had a Christian reputation, never bringing reproach to his father's name, honoring God with his life. And he passed the things of God down to not only his children, but the rest of the nation. A favorable son. He was a faithful servant as well. And we see it in verse number 25. The servant of the Lord. Do you see that? The servant of the Lord. I want everybody to listen to me. It is one thing to be a son of God. It's a totally different thing to be a servant of God. One thing to be a son of God, another to be a servant of God. I cannot tell you the amount of times, the amount of funerals through the years that I preached and I've walked into the chapel or to the parlor or to the home of the family involved to try to learn what their wishes were for the service. And I began learning some things more about the individual that is deceased and how they would say in those moments how much this person loved God. So and so loved the Lord. Oh, they loved the Lord. He was a good man. Christ was honored with his life. A Christian man loved the Lord. But then as I would begin to ask Brother Daniel more and more questions about this individual's life, somebody perhaps that I may not have known all that well and just got called in to preach the funeral for, I learned that they never went to church. I learned that they never did anything in the service of God. They never had a bold witness for Jesus Christ and how Christ has changed his life. They'd never given their substance to the things of God and to the work of God. They had never done anything in the service of the Lord. And the more that you learn about it, the more it is natural to sit and wonder about their true spiritual condition. I'm not in a place to say that anybody is or is not saved. We all understand that. But I believe questions can be raised. They may be saved, but they are not servants. Now, I want you to study your Bible, and you'll learn this when you do. The Bible does not elevate those who were saved. He elevates those who were servants. Those who were saved are mentioned in the Word of God. Those who are servants are elevated in the Word of God. Those are the people that we know that have changed history for the Lord. Those are the people who got down into the trenches of the service of God. They got dirty in it. They got tired in it. They got criticized in it, ridiculed in it, beat up in it, torn down in it. But they fought their way through it because they were a servant of the living God. They did what they could for the Lord. I was sitting around and walking around yesterday. I bet I walked 30,000 steps yesterday. All over his property. All over the place. Tried to talk to everybody that I could. I know I missed a lot. But I tell you, I was looking around. Miss Sky, Miss Crystal, all of you that worked so hard on that. I was looking around at people in the kitchen. I was looking around at people manning the games. And you know what came to my mind? Servants of God. You're not making any money doing this. You're not getting your name on the theater stage. You're not going to be well known in the world. But you're back here on the backside of Lafayette, sitting in the chair on a hot fall day, and you're trying your best to serve God. I want you to understand God is watching every bit of that. He is paying attention to that. He is seeing how serious you are. It's not just a matter that you're saved. It's a matter that you're a servant of God, and those are the people that God will elevate one day. You may not be the one that may get all the attention on this side. And if you're craving it, I want to graciously say, we don't deserve it. One day on the other side, if you really get a hold of your salvation and you serve God with all of your heart in this life, you're going to realize God is going to elevate you. He's going to show you how great things it was that you did. I tell you what, I want to be a servant of the Lord. I know that I'm saved. I know that He's changed my life. I'm not satisfied with that. I want to be a servant
of God. I want to be the one that works my fingers to the bones. I want to be the one that blazes a trail through this troubled generation that we are in. I want to be the one that sprints into the gates of heaven, totally wore out, out of breath, because I gave everything that I had in the service of God. Joshua, we're learning that he left nothing undone with his Christian reputation. He was a faithful son. My faithful servant, he was a favored son, but think with me about how that he had just a frugal simplicity about him. Verse number 30 tells us where he was buried. Now, I won't take time and talk about this, but we talked several weeks ago. You remember, he took the land that the people gave him. It wasn't the land that had all the plush fields. It wasn't the land that had the flowing water. It wasn't the land that offered great opportunities in retirement for him. But he didn't care about that. The reason that he took this particular portion of land for his is because it was but 11 miles from Shiloh. Shiloh was the house of God. He didn't care about all the benefits of the land, all the rich soil, all the water, all the retirement benefits, where he could build the biggest and the greatest house. He wanted to be close to the house of God. A simple man who just wanted to be close to God. He didn't get caught up in all of this and all of that. You know, so many of us have damaged our Christian reputation through the years because the world sees that we are far more interested in the things of their world than we are in propagating the things of God. They see that. They are confused by that. But here's what we need to understand. God will never give us, are you listening? God will never give us what He cannot trust us with.
Amen.
Never. The very reason many of us may not have a lucrative job. We may not have a boat. We may not have this great big house. We may not have a second home somewhere up in the great Smoky Mountains. It's because God knows that it will hinder us spiritually. God knows that we'll use it to stay out of church. God knows that it'll keep us from serving Him and being faithful to Him. And what we ought to do is, instead of whining and complaining about what we don't have, just fall down on your face, be content, bless God for what you do have. He does know what He's doing, and He knows that if you and I had any of those things, it would steal our joy, it would steal our opportunities, it would steal the power that He wants to place up on our lives. The things of God are truly all that matter. He'll give us what He can trust us with. And He'll give us opportunities to serve Him. But let me tell you, with what He does give us, and what we do not treat right, and we allow to be a hindrance in our spiritual walk, listen to me, He will take away from us. He'll either take it away in this life, be careful what you use as excuses not to serve God. You better be careful. It doesn't matter what it is. God will take it. And if He doesn't take it in this life out of His mercy, that He should, if He doesn't take it in this life, He will take it in rewards when we get to the other side. Servants, not just saved, a servant of the living God. Just be content with what God's given you. Take what God's given us. Use it to further our Christian reputation. Just like Joshua did. Just like Nun did. Brother Daniel, I thought about titling this message, "What the Baptist Church Needs More Than Anything Else Is Some Nuns." Struggled with finding where the spiritual application would come out of that, so I just went a different direction. Studying the Scripture, he left nothing undone in his Christian reputation. A second thing I want you to notice with me. He left nothing undone in a contagious resolve. What I mean by that is simply this old boy had some vision for God. He had some goals for the Lord. Some expectations for his life. And you know what he did? He successfully passed all those things down to all of the other people in the nation, and they caught a hold of it. They realized, hey, there's some things that we can do. And when we study Joshua's life all through the book, we notice that God had given him some skillful leadership skills. He had his skillful leadership. Look in verse number 31. The Bible says, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua." You see, it was the leadership skills of old Joshua that instilled the things of God within the people. It motivated the things of God within them to go out and do greater things for the Lord. The elders, the priests, the princes, the heads of all of the tribes, they were important. But if you're going to succeed in doing things for the Lord, leadership has to be consolidated under one person. Ultimately, that's going to have a vision for God. And that's what the Lord did in the life of Joshua. Now think about it. For 40 years in the wilderness, Israel, they just putted along. They just wasted time. Why? Because they were rebelling against God. They were complaining. They were complacent. And God never poured His goodness out upon them. As a matter of fact, God had to kill off the entire generation that came out of Egypt so another generation could be raised up who would understand what leadership was and how to follow that leadership. Now, everybody's listening to me, because we love and we are so thankful for all of the leaders, and every one of us right now, we could look back through the years of our life and we could put our finger on the name of one person that God used to serve as a leader in our life to bring us to the place where we are today. Here's what we need to remember. Those leaders, many of them are gone. They've crossed on over now. They're out of the picture. And it is not that we forget our past, but we've got to invest in our future. And the only way we're going to do it is if you and I pick up the mantle and we carry things on for God. Now Joshua, through his leadership, what he did is he unified the nation. And they were eager, you see, to follow his leadership because they saw how passionate he was about the things of God. Have you ever been around somebody before that makes you feel this tall because they are so passionate about what they are doing? I mean, I've been around some people before that I just feel like I don't even need to be on the same property with you. What you're trying to do and trying to convey to us is simply something that I can't do. It's something I don't have within me. When in reality, God has given all of us a measure of passion if we will just embrace it to go out and do those things. They are people that motivate us to go out and serve God. They make us better in this. Listen to me, church. Our job as leaders in the church, at its bare minimum, is to lead the workers to the water. And though we may not be able to force them to drink, we ought to be able to make them thirsty to do it. I want to serve God because I'm seeing how this guy's serving God. I'm seeing how this gal's serving God. I don't want to be the one at the judgment seat one day that I had all these opportunities set before me that everybody else gets the reward. The people that I knew, the people that I sat next to in church, they're getting the reward for the same simple things that I could have done. Listen, church, leaders are those who motivate others to serve God. Every young Hebrew boy in the nation in Joshua's day wanted to be just like Joshua. And you look at Joshua's Christian reputation, and we still see that living even today. How do we know that? How many Sunday school classes for men are named the Joshua class? How many men's ministries and churches all over the world have got a connection to Joshua? How many of us, as we have studied this fellas, how many of us have wanted to be just like Joshua? That's a leader. His leadership skills, his skillful leadership, it was strong. And that was because of his solidified lordship. He gave everything he had to the Lord. He wasn't relying on himself. Verse number 31. The Bible says, "And which had known all the works of the Lord, that he," in other words, God, "had done for Israel." Joshua never did it. over the years. While Joshua, some 30 plus years, was in charge of the nation, you can rest assured that there were times that following a great move of God, as God would have shown up and God would have done something mighty and done something great, following that, there would have been some that would have come up to Joshua and said, "Great job, Joshua. Great strategy, Joshua. Boy, you thought that went through, Joshua. You the man, Joshua." And then there was a high five. And then there was a fist bump from the other side over here because of what Joshua had done. But Joshua was a leader.